pase. Pierna derecha, directo al arco. ¡Golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Tuesday, December 17th, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins. As always, it is official. Charlotte is team number 30, Dwayne, and we'll quickly talk about it, and we'll also have a little thought experiment. Jonathan Tannenwald, good friend of the show, on Twitter, you can follow him at The Goalkeeper, created a nice little graphic with a potential four-division Major League Soccer. We'll talk about this later on. The Club World Cup, of course, and the League Cup games happening today, but also El Tanque is official, Cavallini official in Vancouver. And Dwayne, I gotta say, the way they treated the news and the social media posts, they got a lot of people rubbed the wrong way, but the tank with the colors of the Whitecaps on it, in the streets of Vancouver, that was pretty good.
Yeah, although the militarily inclined will inform you, as they've informed many people already, that it wasn't technically a tank. It was a personal armored vehicle that was there. I'm not a military. Like, I watch, you know, the History Channel as much as anyone. Well, not the History Channel anymore. History Channel documentaries that are on Netflix as much as anyone. But that's a little bit too deep of a cut for me, but nonetheless, yes, it was Vancouver's own version of the bloody big deal, and you can take that either way that you want. And I think that the way to take it on a positive level, just as in Toronto, is that that market needed a boost. It needed a publicity stunt that would get attention, get eyeballs looking, and get mouse flapping. And if you put a tank out in front of BC Place, then people are going to say, why is there a tank out there? And they might even say it's not technically a tank, and either way they're still talking about it, and that's fine.
Exactly. Lucas Cavallini, now a member of the Vancouver Whitecaps. We mentioned Charlotte. It's official. $325 million for expansion number 30. Well, no. For the 30th team in MLS, the 20th expansion team in Major League Soccer. We all know that it started the first year in 1996 with 10 teams, and now it has 30. And of course, Charlotte, David Tepper, majority owner of the Carolina Panthers in the NFL, and 2021, which makes sense a lot because it becomes 2-2. And yeah, so we're going to go from 26 at the moment to 30 very quickly in just 3 years' time fully. But Dwayne, when we look at the number of teams, 30, it's not necessarily making like a too clear-cut division. The way the teams are located, you can't really do that, but if you have 32 teams, you can do four division of eight, and it's a number that is pretty familiar to sports fans in North America when you have the other major sports leagues in this continent having 32 teams.
Yeah, precisely. Exactly. I'm going to be pedantic again, just because that's the theme of the show. It's actually the 33rd team MLS has put in, but
the mutiny and the fusion are no more.
As well as Chivas USA. You can argue whether they were rebranded or lost and restarted or what have you. But at any rate, there you go. North American fans most certainly are used to 32 teams across, next year, I believe, is Seattle coming to the NHL next year? Soon, anyway. They'll be 32, and I think that means that all of the other so-called Big Four leagues are at 32 at that point. So it will be what is everyone's used to, right? And the other thing everyone's used to in those leagues are that you're not just – well, there are two conferences usually, but those conferences are further split, divided into divisions. And I think we're going that way with MLS, as Jonathan pointed out today. Now, this, Kevin, is not going to make the purists happy. They don't like conferences, let alone divisions. So we'll see how this – I know how this is going to play out. It's going to be a lot of sky is falling talk. But I don't know how you can possibly have 32 teams in a league. You can't play 60 32 games would be a 62-game schedule. You cannot have a 62-game schedule in the condensed time that the weather allows it in North America. So,
but if you look at it the other way, so by the way, you can see on your screens right now what Jonathan Tannenwald tweeted today is East, Midwest, South, and West Division, what it could look like in Major League Soccer. But this might be the easiest way to get some sort of balanced schedule. Of course, you cannot have a balanced schedule league-wide. But if you have two conferences and then the two conferences split in two divisions, I don't know how you'll be able to do that, but maybe you don't even need to. Having eight teams per division, maybe you play three games per team, three times seven, so that would give you quickly 21 games, and then you have interconference maybe, and then playoff system. Maybe you play four games. Maybe you have 28-game regular season and then an extended playoff. That would mean at least a balanced schedule intra-division, and then you go from there. Maybe with 28 games in your division, then you play a couple of games from outside your division, and then you have some sort of balanced schedule, at least in the division, depending on who you're facing in the extra games. But we get to 28 games. You should play four games against everyone in your division. But that's a lot of games against, example, DC for Philly or for the Red Bulls. Yes, it's good rivalry-wise, but it's also diluting that rivalry. Example, Montreal-Toronto, we would get it four times in the regular season with said scenario that I just mentioned, or even more when you add the Canadian Championship to it. So, yes, that could dilute rivalries, but maybe that's one way to get there.
Another simple way would be to lower your regular season to 30 games and just simply play every other team in your conference twice. That would be 30 games.
Exactly. So that's true.
And then you would perhaps what you could do from there, and I know there have been some people that have advocated for this, is you have like the Belgian system. You have a second round robin format before you get into a breakdown. So you would have, everyone play 30 games, and then the top teams would qualify. You're getting into like fantasy league formats at this point, but yeah, there's ways to make this a little more simpler. But this is MLS; they won't make it simple. There'll be like triple crossovers and double dutches, and it won't be a balanced schedule because it never is, and that's just the way it is. That's the league that we know and love and tolerate. Sometimes in equal measure. So it is what it is. Look, I have long said, and I am not the only person saying this, to toot my own horn, which is something I never do. I was got a peanut gallery here today. I was
well, you don't need one. I'm here too. So
I was one of the first people to ever bring up the idea that they might go 40 or 48 into two conferences. And I think that it's just such a big level. And I mean, everyone talks about pro rel. They don't want pro rel. What they want to do is to cover every major American market with the three Canadian markets tossed in for good measure and cover it all. And that's 48 in my mind. If you get to 48, you're really scraping the bottom at that point. I mean, you look at someone put a list out of the top
Kalamazoo. Kalamazoo is getting a team in Major League Soccer 2032.
Someone put a list out. I think the top 10 markets without a team right now in terms of population. There's some huge ones still that Phoenix, really they would love in.
Detroit, Phoenix are one of the most famous right now. But yeah,
I would say those two are the biggest that jump out. But when you're getting down to 10th, you're into like Buffalo. And
oh my God, that would be awesome! Playing at Ralph Wilson Stadium, shoveling snow half the season. You got the fans showing up to shovel.
Be a good derby with Forge. That'd be damn close there if they ever played somehow. And KC, actually. I mean, it's only it's distance wise, it's nothing between Buffalo and Toronto. Time wise, it's you got a border to deal with. But yeah, you'd be another rivalry game there. But I don't think Buffalo's getting a team anytime soon. In fact, I know a few people that are season ticket holders at TFC from Buffalo, so they kind of already have a team.
That's true. Well, just before we continue in that mindset for our podcast listeners, I'll just mention Jonathan Tannenwald's division. So East, you would have seven teams right now in his thought experiment he mentioned on Twitter earlier today. DC, Philadelphia, New York Red Bulls, NYCFC, New England, Montreal, and Toronto. Midwest would be Chicago, Cincinnati, Colorado, Columbus, Minnesota, Kansas City, Salt Lake, and St. Louis. South would be Atlanta, Austin, Charlotte, Dallas, Houston, Miami, Nashville, and Orlando. And his Western Conference would be LAFC, LA Galaxy, Portland, Sacramento, San Jose, Seattle, and Vancouver. And there's an easy one to plug that hole in that Western Conference, Las Vegas. That would be a candidate, probably, for that Western Conference spot. The question is, who fills it in the East?
Detroit, I think, would be who their preference would be in terms of market and historical, sort of historical sporting importance within the United States. I think Detroit would be something that a lot of people really very much would enjoy. I've long said that, you know, from just a pure fan perspective, I would love to see Detroit in it because, you know, the city I'm in has a great rivalry with many Detroit teams over the years, whether it be the Red Wings or the Tigers. And to this day, I still hate the Tigers, Kevin, and from something that happened when I was like eight. So there you go. There's a rivalry there for sure.
If there's a team who has been irrelevant, maybe outside of one or two blimps in baseball, it's been the Tigers. So maybe you're the only one who still resents the Tigers.
Oh, no. In this city, you'll find a lot of Tiger haters still. It's been a long time, in fairness, since the Blue Jays played the Tigers because they got moved out of division. But when they back in the AL East days, it was a pretty vicious rivalry because they were both pretty good at the time. But at any rate, moving on from baseball talk there. That's an obvious one there. You know, but as we've said many times before, when it comes to handicapping MLS expansion, you got to take the Bill Clinton paraphrase. It's about the owner, stupid. You know, it really is. Charlotte. Who the hell picked Charlotte? No one really, but the ownership came through. The money was there, and suddenly, you know, we have Mint City. I don't know where that came from. I never heard of that before. I'm not up on my Charlotte nicknames, but apparently Mint City is in the league now. So Charlotte, and they're talking trash about Atlanta already. God love it. This is the only league in the world where derbies happen before teams exist. Rivalry week, Nashville, me, Atlanta. Nashville's not a team yet. How could it be a rivalry? Let things happen. Just let things happen.
But when we, just to continue, when you mentioned Detroit could be a potential, even though Jonathan mentioned on his Twitter feed also just a couple minutes after publishing this that he sees Vegas and he sees Detroit, but Detroit might not be an MLS-ready city at that time, and maybe, who knows? But there could be other choices, but Detroit is the one that is obvious to me. It's represented in every other major sport leagues in North America, and it's only not represented in Major League Soccer, a big market that is had gone through some a lot of troubles over the last 30 years, but there's some parts of Detroit that are up and coming also, and it's not necessarily a Phoenix rising out of its ashes, but it's on the way there. Of course, Phoenix could be a team wanting a club also, a city wanting a team also, and then maybe you actually just take another team in Midwest or in the South, but that are close to the East, and you put them in the Eastern Conference, and the Phoenix probably either in the West or the South Division. I can see Orlando being in the Eastern Conference and a Phoenix being in the South and or the West. Yeah, so there's possibilities there also, but it's a good thought experiment, and yeah, we do believe they will go to 32.
Well, yeah, just to finish on the Detroit stuff. Look, they love the rivalries, right? And you look at Detroit, it's smack dab in the middle of everything. You have a quick jog to Chicago, a quick jog to Toronto, a quick jog to Columbus. Cincinnati's not too further from there. All of those teams could be hooked into, like, potential big travel games. I know for a fact that if Toronto and, well, look at the Raptors and the Pistons when they play right now. Half the stadium is filled with Raptors fans. That's because the Pistons don't draw very well. But nonetheless, that the idea is that a lot of people would travel, and that would be interesting for them there. I'll give you a couple dark horse names in terms of that wouldn't shock me, that aren't really talked about as much. Not never, but aren't talked about as much. They like their Northwest Triangle rivalries there, Vancouver, Portland, and Seattle. Cascadia is the name that I couldn't get out of my head for some reason. They like their Cascadia rivalries. They might want to create something similar in the Southeast. You could simply do that by putting Tampa in. Tampa does have an existing team, and that would be something that they might think of if the ownership were to emerge and there was a stadium viable plan that came forth there.
Yeah, but then Florida becomes a state with, look, Tampa, Orlando, Miami.
Well, the distances are very close. You're right, but that's what I'm saying, is that they like their clusters.
And Tampa Bay, just to remind our newest listeners, was in the process in January 2017. MLS to St. Pete was a project, one of the 12 bids, and they had a lot of reach. There was like billboards to promote this bid across North America. There was even one in Montreal. There were many, many billboards nowhere. Hashtag MLS to St. Pete. It didn't pan out, but they were one of the bids for the 2017 in January MLS bid process that saw six of these 12 so far given an MLS franchise.
Yeah, the one in Toronto was just on Dundas, but maybe 2 kilometers from Bevo Field. So yes, they sort of targeted things that way. At any rate, the other city that I was going to mention quickly, and it's challenging because there's a Liga Maxi team right there, but Landon Donovan's gone in to create a USL team there. It is consistently one of the best US television markets, even for US national team games, not just Mexican stuff. And that, of course, is San Diego, and that would be a nice rivalry. Again, a cluster with the LA teams, right? It's, what, I think, a couple hours drive. So yeah, there's choices there. But all of this, the fact that we can keep pulling cities out, tells you that, yeah, why would, if you're going to get $300 million, like, at one of these leagues eventually is going to say, why don't go further? And the benefit of MLS, and why they, I think, will be the one that says, why not keep going, is because they have a world market to deal from in a much greater way than basketball, hockey, or football does.
Yeah, for baseball, player, well, for player personnel, yeah, you can just... Yeah. You can draw players from other leagues. Like at some point in the NFL, which there's thousands and thousands of college football players that finish every single season, so that doesn't account there. But example, to a hockey or baseball, at some point, you dilute the product so much by having so many players and so many teams that, yeah, the level of the game goes a little bit down. I don't know, we don't think soccer could be the same because you can just draw more good players from the entire world.
Yeah, I don't think they're immune from it, and I've made this argument before, but they're less susceptible to a delusion that you would have, certainly in hockey and baseball, where you have to deal with the pitching start side of things. Football is a weird animal. They can sustain more teams because they have a lot there, and there's a lot of Americans that play the game, but there's also a lot of players needed. Basketball is played globally, so you can probably get away with it there too, but I do think MLS, for that reason, plus the fact that they're newer, and newer usually means you're more open to new ideas. Although MLS is very clearly tied into the NFL way of thinking, which is why 32 is in their brain. But yeah, I could see them going to 40 very easily because, as we said, you know, let's say they go into Detroit and they go into Las Vegas, then what if an owner comes from San Diego and goes, you know, I'd really like a team and I have $500 million burning a hole in my pocket. Do you think MLS is going to turn that down? No, they're not. Here we are.
Here we are, but it's a good thought experiment, and we'll continue to do so. But Charlotte team number 30, and according to Don Garber, commissioner of Major League Soccer, earlier today in his press conference, mentioned that you might not have a few announcements. This might be our final announcement, maybe, for a couple of years, but we expect more announcement to come, of course, in Major League Soccer. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's look at the League Cup and the Club World Cup games for today.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at Soccer Today SPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
And we're back on Soccer Today. Kevin Larmy, of course, with Dwayne Rollins. If you like the Sports Podcast Network, get exclusive podcasts, premium podcasts available on our Patreon feed at patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. The Two Solitude Soccer Podcast for $2, $5 a month. You'll get all the premium podcasts and the $10 tier. You'll get the documentary tier. You get a documentary every 2 months. First one will drop around Christmas time next week. A great show that we are planning right now. I have a bunch of interviews this week. You will love what we do on the Gold Cup 2001 by the Canadian men's national team. Maybe, arguably, the biggest moment in Canadian soccer history. All right, I don't think we'll see any soccer history happening today, Dwayne, neither in the League Cup or in the Club World Cup, but there's a few games to watch today.
Fair enough. The greatest moment in Canadian soccer history happened in Newfoundland in 1985. But that aside, 2000 was pretty important. The League Cup, we're getting to the point where the big teams start to pay a little more attention to it. Although certainly Liverpool, the situation with Liverpool is fascinating in that they're playing a very scratch team today because they have to fly to the Middle East to play in the World Club Cup.
They have to go to Doha because they're playing tomorrow. That's the thing. Liverpool is playing tomorrow at 12:30 Eastern time against Monterrey. And they're playing today in England against Aston Villa in Birmingham.
This is the most interesting thing about this League Cup this year. It's interesting. If this was the FA Cup, there would be a lot of people wringing their hands over it. They'd be very upset about this because the FA Cup still contains a lot of romanticism towards English fans. And a lot of people are concerned about it losing its value. And if Liverpool was like throwing out the kids to go to the Club World Cup, people would be upset about this, just as they were with Manchester United back years ago when they pulled out of the FA Cup to go in what at that time was the expanded Club World Cup the first time they did it. So, but this is different because it's the League Cup and everyone recognizes it as the baby cup. You'd like basically the League Cup if you're a big club. If you get to the semifinals and you draw a rivalry, you want to win a rival, you want to win it. If you get to, you'd rather lose in the quarterfinals than lose in the semifinals because the semifinals are two legs. And if you make the final, you might as well win it at that point.
Yeah.
It's that kind of cup. I enjoy it because it's a test of depth, but this is going to be, for a big club and for City. City does actually historically, since the money, has taken this competition very seriously. And I think it's because, A, in the early days of the money, they viewed it as an opportunity to prove themselves. They hadn't won a major trophy in 35 years when the takeover happened, so they needed to get that monkey off their back, and they did. Was the FA Cup, it happened to be, but they did take the League Cup seriously in the lead up to that. Famously had a tie with Manchester United, which they won the first leg, lost the second, and lost the tie on away goals. But at any rate, getting into City history now, the point being, it offers an opportunity to really test your depth and to give people runouts and have an opportunity as an illustration of teams like a full roster of 30 or whatever. And Liverpool is going to take that to the max today. And that's what makes this interesting, to see whether they can truly pull off a double whammy here. Now, Klopp traditionally doesn't really care about the cups that much, other than obviously the European ones. That's a different thing. He hasn't really put a lot of stock in that. And certainly I doubt you're going to see Liverpool, throw out the first team lineup in the third round of the FA Cup either. But this is an opportunity for guys that aren't going to get any look other time. Now, he's also said that they're going to, for three or four of these people that they've hung back, are going to jump on a plane and immediately fly to the Middle East so they can be part of the team down there. But everything I've read out of Liverpool says that they are taking the Club World Cup far more seriously to win their two games there than they are this right now. And they would like to ideally win this. And I get it. I mean, for all of Liverpool's history, they've never officially been declared the world champions, I think. So and certainly the Club World Cup, they've never been involved in to win it because it didn't exist back the last time they won the European Championship.
And it's also such a once in a blue moon event. You have to win the Champions League to get there. So it's not like there's a lot of teams that actually won the Club World Cup from Europe. It's a select group because you have to win the Champions League. So it's not going to happen every year. And you have to take advantage of when it happens. And if you're there, might as well win it. Monterrey is thinking the same thing. And Flamengo is thinking the same thing. And, of course, those are the other two big favorites. Of course, the Flamengo and Liverpool are the big teams in this tournament. Liverpool being the biggest team in this tournament. But Monterrey will want to test themselves against Liverpool. And that's where this game becomes tricky. You have a Monterrey who's not necessarily having, it's been playing for a while, right? It hasn't stopped playing. And Monterrey versus Liverpool, it will be a great match tomorrow at 12:30. Today at 12:30, Flamengo versus Al Hilal as Sebastian Giovinco. Maybe we'll see Giovinco today, the Atomic Ant, because there's so many games in a close proximity of time for Al Hilal. It would be their third game in this competition. So maybe we'll see Giovinco play.
Maybe, he doesn't play every game over there, which has led some to speculate that he's looking for a move back to Major League Soccer. We've talked about that in the past on the show. We won't belabor it right now. It is something to watch. I do plan to sort of keep an eye on both the League Cup and the Club World Cup this afternoon. The game that matters is a game going on right now, but it's for fifth place. Which is the other thing I always say about the Club World Cup, when people from here go, we got to make the Club World Cup. It's like, are you going to get pumped for the fifth place game? Because that's where you're headed. Can you imagine a Major League Soccer team in this competition? Imagine if TFC had won the shootout last year. And then remember their 2018. They would have been 4 months at a competition by the time this thing kicked off. Like, my God, it might not have been pretty. No. Anyway.
Esperance de Tunis 6, Al Sadd Sports Club, the Qatar club representing the host nation, 2, a big decisive victory for the African team today for the fifth place. So Esperance Tunis finished fifth in this tournament, and Al Sadd Sports Club 6. Logic has been respected. Before we say goodbye, let's take a look at the other games in the League Cup. Dwayne, tomorrow, Everton and Leicester at 2:45 p.m. Eastern Time. Of course, Oxford United versus Manchester City at Oxford United, and Man United versus Colchester. The famous, I would say, favorite in all these matchups would be the Premier League teams, Liverpool. And between Everton and Leicester, I would go, obviously, Leicester second in the table. Man City, of course, over Oxford. And Man United, I would say their favorite, over Colchester. But these are the League Cup games happening today and tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a Carabao Cup, for those that don't know what the League Cup means. Carabao is not sold in North America, so I don't feel any obligation to say that they sponsor names. But I'll say it once now, so in case you were confused by what League Cup meant, that's what we're talking about. I'm terrified also of a Manchester Derby two-game series in January, but I guess maybe if they're going to have that happen, this might be the year to have it happen, because there's not really a league title to chase. At any rate, look, I think Leicester is the interesting team in this mix, because I don't think they're going to be able to track down Liverpool. I would give it maybe a 5% chance right now. So if you're Leicester, maybe winning this will matter a bit more than the other teams, because it's another statement of intent, so to speak. They won the league title, 5 years ago now?
2016,
out of the blue. Not everyone necessarily, most people thought it was a one-off. To bounce back and win another trophy and potentially finish second, they're the favorite to finish second right now, would be a statement of intent, as I said. So I think maybe if you're looking at the 8 teams remaining, I might point to Leicester as the favorite. You know, as I said, City just drew Real Madrid. So, you know, they're not necessarily going to be all focused on a semifinal in January. Liverpool is probably going to punt today. You look at the smaller teams, you knock them out. United, maybe. It might matter to them as a proof. You know, Ole might look at this as, hey, I want a trophy. You got to keep me.
It's the only trophy I probably realistically have a shot to winning this year. So,
yeah, well, you know, Jose said he won a treble, which included the League Cup and the Community Shield. So there you go. It's the Europa League Cup Community Shield. There has never been a less celebrated treble in history, but he called it that, which got a lot of chuckles.
Well, it is three trophies.
It is three trophies. It is a treble. I can't argue with him. He's correct.
That's the thing. It is a treble, but it is not the treble.
Not the treble. Yeah, I'll never forget after City won in 2014, I was in the bathroom, as the case had it. And someone said, did you have a good year? And I went, yeah, we won a double. We won the double. And he went, oh, no, son, we did not win the double. We won a double. And that's what you're saying here. So that was what I was reminded of right there.
Yep, no, it makes a lot of sense. And it is a treble. We'll see if United can pull it off in the League Cup. That would give them a chance to at least get a couple trophies if they do well in Europa League. Who knows? But that's what's going to happen in today and tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow on Soccer Today, of course, to talk about the beautiful game, the world of football with a soccer perspective. Until then, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Laramie, and this show at Soccer Today SPN. We will be back again tomorrow at 11 a.m. on our Twitter feed, podcast available anywhere you get your podcasts, video show replay on Twitter, on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Instagram TV starting today as well. And you can find podcasts anywhere. You get podcasts and on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. Until tomorrow, as always, we wish you happy holidays and a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcasts.